Hi everyone, and welcome to the Enlightened Podcast. This is a very special episode this week because I had the pleasure of speaking with the super funny Tim Sharp, who of course plays Doug Daniels on Enlightened, and he was so kind to come on this podcast and chat for a bit about his career, the show, and so much more. And so without further ado, I present my conversation with Tim Sharp.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, how are you?
Awesome, I'm fantastic. This is so weird with the time difference. I was going to say happy night, but it's kind of still evening for you, isn't it?
Right. Where are you again? In Pennsylvania?
Yep, I'm in Pittsburgh.
So, is it 7 or 8 there?
8, it's 3 hours.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. Is it still light where you are?
Yeah, but it's raining, so it's kind of overcast. There's an overcast.
California?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
Los Angeles, yep.
Raining in California, you would have thought.
I know. It's rare.
Yeah.
But
so before we even get near Enlightened, I have to bring up Undeclared.
Oh, wow.
Because I loved Freaks and Geeks. That was my favorite thing growing up.
Yeah.
I was one of those weird super fans who bought that huge DVD yearbook thing that they sold, like, at a coffee store.
That's so cool.
That was me. And I saw that you were in this, and it's almost like a crossover because of the actors that were in both shows and the creative team. And and that would be amazing for you to do that.
Yeah, no, that was my first real, I did like a couple of guest starring, roles, and this is back when I was 21.
Wow.
This is 2000, year 2000. And, I had done like a few things, but nothing that would warrant me being on a Judd Apatow show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That must have been a fantastic first experience to just get thrown in with all these amazing creative minds.
It was insane. It was the best thing. I thank Judd till this day. You know what I mean?
Did you audition for it, or how did you even get into that?
I did. I was living in New York City at the time, and I had an audition, and I'd just gotten a manager. I was fresh out of acting school. And my manager, and I wasn't familiar with Freaks and Geeks. Mm. I just liked the material. And I would do anything. I would do any job at
that point. That's as relatable as you can get. The whole genre. That's why everyone loves those kind of shows. That's so relatable.
Exactly. And
where did you go to school?
I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Where's that?
There's one in New York in Manhattan, and then there's one in Los Angeles also. But the New York one is better. I'm sure I'm pissing people off. It's true.
Disclaimer, it's fine.
And it's like, you know, the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, but the American version.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm classically trained and stuff, which is, I think, shocks some people.
That's awesome. I'm such a theater fan. Like, that's where my love comes from the arts and musical theater. I'm such a musical theater buff. And so to...
Oh, me too.
Really?
I grew up doing it. Yeah, I grew up doing musical theater. I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota.
Hmm.
And it's got, like, a surprising amount of support for the arts in that area.
That's wonderful.
And, yeah, and I grew up doing this thing called, it's like a summer performing arts program called Trollwood Performing Arts School, and they would do a main stage musical every year, and I did it every year I started in the 8th grade.
What an opportunity. We don't get anything like that in Pittsburgh. At my school, we didn't even have a musical any of my 4 years in high school.
No way.
It was so bad. Well, my graduating class was only like 125 people, so it's a pretty small school. How big, what was your class like?
I think mine was around, it was in the 400s.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We didn't have much of a pool of kids to choose from, I guess, and the budget and stuff. But our neighboring school, they put on every production known to man, and little South Allegheny had 125 in their senior class, and they didn't really put money into that. But that's so amazing that you had those opportunities. I bet that influenced you even to go into this.
Majorly.
Yeah.
Majorly. Yeah. I decided when I was in the ninth grade that I wanted to be an actor. That was it.
See, that's amazing. That's why those programs are so important. And it just breaks my heart every time you see one get off the curriculum or budget cuts. Look what they do for people and the offers that they give. I support the arts so much in school.
Yeah, me too. I do as much as I can.
You can't talk about musicals and not tell me your favorite. What's your favorite musical?
I really enjoyed doing A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Oh, that's a good one.
And that also, my experience with that one taught me like a valuable life lesson that I think I also think is responsible for, I guess, my drive. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I had been in this summer program I was telling you about. I had been I'd been given the lead like in Guys and Dolls. I was Nathan Detroit and Annie. I was Fagin.
So cool. You're so, like, killing me with this musical stuff. This is amazing. This is more amazing than I thought it could be. Okay.
So I kind of. And I got a bit of a head, an ego, mm-hmm. when I was in high school. And I had auditioned for A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. This was my senior year, and I was just expected to get the lead. And so I didn't really, try in my audition. I didn't really, do homework or anything. And just kind of went in there thinking, this is in the bag.
It's like a football attitude, but in theater.
Yeah. And then my best friend just blew me away. He and he got the lead, and I got the second lead. And that was a huge, whoa, and the director called me and was like, I don't even want to give you this part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, and it taught me to work for what you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need that. No one likes to hear no, but you need to hear no to get better.
Oh, yeah.
Are you still friends with that person?
Oh, God, yeah. He's one of my best friends.
That's awesome. Wow. But
how do we get to the...
I don't even know how it went. Wow, that's the biggest tangent.
So, Undeclared.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't called Undeclared. It was just the untitled Judd Apatow project, and... there was just a handful of scenes that we could choose as people auditioning to, be we could choose two of I think a choice of five or seven scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And we did those in the audition, and I got a callback with Loudon Wainwright, who played the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading for, Jay Baruchel's part. Everybody pretty much was. They didn't have characters figured out until they cast all of us.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that common?
No.
That's just how Judd Apatow goes into things, I guess.
Judd, he's all about what's funny. And he will stick to his guns. And that's, I think, why Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared had such a short life on the air. But that's also why he is who he is today, because he, kept his integrity.
And the fan bases behind them, even I don't know how massive they are on either side, but they're devoted. And what they make up in numbers, they are extremely in love with the characters and in the show. And I think that's segue. Hey, that's the same as with Enlightened. There's not a huge fan base, I don't think, but the people that love it with everything they have, and it speaks to them so much. And that's true, I think, with both of those shows and approaches.
Maybe that's my thing. Maybe that'll be my thing. I'm just going to do projects that won't last, but people will love.
That's okay, because what else? Why else create art and theater? That's what theater is. When you're on stage, it's in the moment. It's not recorded. It's for the audience you have. So I think it's a pretty good path.
Thanks. I'm glad we had this conversation.
Right? You can use that now.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved with Enlightened? Did you audition for that as well?
I did. And I actually, Mike White, I don't know if you remember, he was in an episode of Undeclared.
I saw that on the list. That list of guest stars for all those episodes, that's insane. And you were in every episode, so you worked with all of them.
Yeah, I got to work with, it was such like a, I'm so grateful to have that as my first thing out of the gate, you know?
Because when I was looking through the list, I saw Tom Welling in there, and I'm such a Smallville fan.
God, that's right. Tom Welling was in the pilot. This is before he got Smallville.
Yeah. Smallville was my true love in TV. All 10 years. I went from elementary school through college with that show.
Amazing.
I think I was in fifth grade when it came out, and I was graduating college when it ended. So I grew up with that show.
That's incredible.
That's awesome. So many connections right now. This is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Enlightened. Tangent.
Mike White did an episode of Undeclared, and we were familiar with each other.
Mm-hmm.
However many years later, Enlightened was, I don't even know, I think 12?
Yeah, 12, at least that.
Something like that. And I'd run into him a couple of times, but it's not like we were like buddies or anything. But I came in to audition, and there was like everybody that you've ever seen on TV or movies was like there for the part, and I was like, "Oh, this isn't gonna happen." I'd worked really hard on the audition because I thought I had a funny approach, and you should work hard on every audition. I don't know why I'm saying that I worked hard on this one in particular, but I did, and I don't. I'm going to be honest, I don't work hard on every audition because I don't like as many of the projects as much as I like this one. This one was super, super special, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I went in, read with Laura, and...
Oh, is that the first time you met her, or did you meet her?
Yeah, no, that was the first time.
Oh, wow, got thrown in.
Yeah.
To the lion ring, I guess you can call it, right off the bat.
And it went great. And I left, and I just forgot about it because I didn't expect to get it. And then I heard that Mos Def got cast in the part.
Hmm.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Mos Def is did you ever see Be Kind, Rewind?
No.
With Jack Black? First of all, he's black. And he's probably... He's also a rapper and a poet. Like, he did deaf poetry jams. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No.
That's okay. I'm old. Super old. No, you're not. But he's a powerhouse in the African American community, and as an actor, he's great. So when I heard he got it, it kind of made sense because the part was sort of written for a black man. Something, I don't know what happened, but something didn't work out, I think contractually or something like that. So he couldn't do it, and I was their first choice after him.
Oh, wow. See, it all fell into place then.
Yeah.
It was fated.
Yeah, happened. For real.
That's really, really cool and interesting how that happened as well.
Mm-hmm.
But lucky, I'm glad you're cast, because I love you in this show so much.
Thank you. I really
do. I don't know, I couldn't picture anybody else. You're just so good.
Yeah,
you have
the
right attitude for it.
I made it my own, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's amazing. You're so funny.
Thank you.
Do you have any, like, favorite moments or funny stories or anything you could share?
Yeah, there's one, I think in the first season, I can't remember which episode, but it's the first time I really explode. Like, I've gotten mad before, but it's the first time that I really just lose my shit. And it was, I throw a water bottle across the room.
Oh, and, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I ended up hitting one of the background actors square in the back. And, like, if you watch that scene, I think I say whatever I say and I throw it and I turn around and I'm continuing my line.
Mm-hmm.
And then wherever it cuts, it's cutting there because I had to stop and just say, "Are you okay?" to that actor. You know what I mean?
Did they use that take?
Yeah, they did. They used that take. Yeah, if you watch that scene again, I hit somebody hard
awesome.
In the back.
Oh, I'm
going
to watch that. That's awesome and funny. They need a blooper reel. There's none on DVDs.
You know what? They gave us one for the first season. I should just put it online or something. Or I should maybe send it to you.
That would be amazing. That is gold because they didn't put that. I don't think there's any deleted scenes. There's not really anything, just commentaries and behind the scenes. Little things with Mike on them, but that would be hilarious. I couldn't even imagine a blooper reel. That would be so funny.
Are you talking about on the DVD?
Yeah, on the DVD.
Cool.
Not too many features, but it's still cool. It's still better than nothing. I mean, this show is like the little show that could. It's so loved by few and ignored by many because it's such a specific audience, I think, that it speaks to.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's part of why it, you know, didn't continue is because I don't know if middle America is willing to look that close at themselves, really.
Yes.
Because I think like one of the characters I related to as an audience member was Laura's you kind of hate that you relate so much to her.
That's so weird. Because when I first started watching this show, I stayed away from the internet. I stayed away. I didn't want anyone else's opinions to influence mine. Because I went in as a Laura fan to begin with. I've loved her for years. And so I went into this blind. I didn't want anyone's opinion to affect mine. So I watched them all. After it already aired, I watched them all in one clump in like 2 days, I think. The whole two
seasons
or something. And I went in and I just loved her character. I saw so much of me in there.
Oh, yeah.
And heck, that's why this podcast exists, because I just connected so well and identified so well. And I need this show to get the recognition and love it deserves. Even if two people listen to this, okay, I just need it out there so people to give it what it deserves, to give the
attention.
That's
so cool of you. That's so cool of you. Because, I mean, everybody involved on the show, we all love it. And we all miss it. And I don't know. Who knows? I heard they're bringing their, you know, that show, The Comeback?
Yeah, I saw that they're bringing that back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
there's
people bringing that back. Maybe,
maybe
they'll try to bring Enlightened back. Who knows?
I'll do what I can. I don't know what else. I don't know. But what I was going to get into was I think it was IMDb or some message board thinking, oh, I can't wait to read all the praise for this character and everyone just loves her as much as I do. And everyone hated her. And I'm like, what? Are we watching the same show? Is it bad that I identify so? Like, should I be worried that
no,
I see so
I honestly think, I think they, in a way, are saying that they hate themselves because if you don't relate to her, you're crazy. Like, you have, like, everything she goes through in the show, I relate to in my own way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, I've said the wrong thing a million times and didn't realize it. I mean, there's so much, and I think that it's just too real for people to process.
Definitely. Yeah, they don't want to look at that.
Yeah.
Themselves in that way, and they don't want to say, oh, maybe I do that. They just want to turn the other way and be like, no, I'm just going to go watch something funny and goofy and
mindless or whatever. Yeah.
Right. I'm so glad that this exists. I'm so glad that Laura did it. Cause if she didn't, I follow her stuff. So I don't even know if I don't have HBO at home. So I don't know if I would have found it. So I'm just glad that it led
me. Oh, wow. So you were just a fan of Laura's.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't have a, that's why I had to wait until the whole two seasons were out until I watched, or at least the full first season. So I got the DVD because I never had HBO ever at my house.
Right.
So that's what I do. I support and follow her stuff because she's so good. I love her fearlessness. She's not afraid of anything.
Oh, she's amazing. She's amazing. And yeah. I credit a lot of my performance to her because she was so easy to work off. She was so easy to react to. Do mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Totally, yes. I know you can't help but not react in a real way because she's just so in it and in the moment and truthful about everything, and I admire that. I mean, to just throw it out to the wall and go for it and not worry about anything or anybody's opinions or judgment, I mean, that right. brings the best out of everyone around her, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She's a delight.
Yeah.
I love her.
Oh, I bet. But, and then Mike, too, with his writing, and this show, I can go on, hence why this podcast, I just ramble about how much I love it all the time.
It's hard to, like, read other scripts and audition for other projects, especially in the TV world, after that, you know what I mean?
Spoiled.
Yeah, and it's really, it's kind of depressing,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. I don't get to just have this amazing team and this, you know, just this amazing exploration forever.
Mm-hmm. So but, if they were to go back to it, you'd do it then?
Oh, God, yeah. I think we all would.
Yeah,
we all would go back.
Oh, I wish. That was lightning in a bottle, I think. It really... Mm-hmm.
It definitely was. And the critics, like, who cares what the, you know, the people say on IMDb or whatever, but the critics, I don't think there was one bad review.
No, I look through them when I research and go through each episode and take my notes on each episode to prep for these podcast episodes. I go through critics and see what they said and what they caught that I might have missed and mm-hmm. comment on those kind of things. And you're right, they're all praise. And even the comments there, and not to say that people on IMDb don't like it, because it has a very high rating. It's just mm-hmm. they didn't like her character. They still love the show, but it was hard to watch the character for them.
Right.
That's the only thing. And I could see, I guess, for normal people, how that would be off-putting. But for the few of us that really, 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 really get it, it's a beautiful, beautiful work of art, I think.
That's so... Thank you so much. I think it's so great that you're moved enough to like put a podcast together. And
yeah, I know how hard you guys work and how much effort it takes to write these scenes, because even when I'm trying to take notes to write them, it's hard to put my thoughts into words. And then when I'm just thinking how did they write these intricate monologues that just take the human psyche and just spill it onto a page in beautiful, eloquent words, and I'm thinking that's a lot of energy, that's a lot
you know
of effort.
What? Most TV shows have a team of writers. This mm-hmm. show didn't. Mike White wrote every single episode.
He's a genius.
He is. He captures the loneliness of mm-hmm. any character so well, and can tell that story with such precision, and he's just an amazing writer.
Definitely, and I get that. That's why I wanted to do this, because I get it. I wanted to put it out there that somebody gets what you're trying to do, and I understand everything, and I understand every episode, and the different themes, and the different intricacies, and the connections, and everything, the messages. I understand it, and I get it, and I relate it, and that's why I needed to create this for people.
That's awesome. That's so good for you. That's
no,
great.
No, good for you. You did great work.
Thanks.
Oh, this went off the rails again to appraising.
That's all good.
Yeah. So unless if you have anything else to talk about with Enlightened, I can move on to the next topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Drop my headphone. So you play the guitar.
Yeah.
Do you play anything else?
I kind of can play everything, but...
Oh, everything.
Like, not, like, good. I can play everything just enough to fake it. You know what I mean?
That's close enough, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Can you play the piano?
Barely, but enough to fake it. You know, well, mm-hmm. I like to write songs. I like to write music.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I like, if there's a piano, it's me just... finding the, I don't know how to read music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's me just finding the chord or whatever on the piano.
Wow, that's a good talent. That's talent in itself.
Oh, I consider it a hobby, but yeah, sure. I'm talented.
Yeah, hey, run with that. If someone tells you you're talented, you say yes and run with that.
Yes, I am.
There you are. Yeah. Because I take voice lessons, but even then, I can read music in a sense, but I can't just go up to a piano and kind of fake my way. I mean, that you have to have some kind of talent with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need help when I do it. But, so is there anyone that you looked up to personally in the business whenever you were going into this?
You know, I look up to one of the actors that kind of I always idolized was Gary Oldman. Mm. And right before I got Undeclared, I sort of fell in love with Sam Rockwell. Do you know who that is?
No, I fail.
No, you don't. He's I'm trying to think what his. Look him up. He's amazing.
I'm doing that right now.
He is somebody that I think to this day still really admire and look up to as an actor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he did a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, that's why. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't seem to be someone who's ever sold out. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just I just see everything he's ever done as something that he's clearly cared about.
Mm-hmm. And that's something to admire for sure.
Mm-hmm. And he's so good.
Yes. That's exactly, you could apply all that to Laura for me. Exactly. She just, exactly the same thing. She's so good and she takes what she feels instead of what she should do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's amazing.
Same thing. But that's really cool.
Have you talked to her?
I don't even know how I would do that.
I'll email her and I'll tell her about you and if she's cool with it, I'll get back to you and try to, get you two in touch because I think she'd really appreciate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, here's something kind of weird. She's I don't know if you know about this. She's going to the New Jersey Film Festival this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
To get an award for, I'm not sure, something just like her work of art, her work of
body
film.
Work.
Yeah, right. That's the one. She's getting an award for that. And I'm actually, for my mom's birthday, I bought her tickets to see Jay Leno because she loves Jay Leno. And he's in New Jersey that mm-hmm. same weekend. And I bought these tickets back in January. And it's just such a coincidence that they're both going to be in New Jersey the same weekend. I'm going to be in New Jersey that same weekend. So I bought tickets. I bought tickets for me and my mom to go to this awards banquet.
Oh, cool.
Where Laura's going to get that award. And I'm just like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. But if I'm in the same room, that's cool enough. That's
right. I wish I could guarantee that you'd meet her. But
no, that's fine. I'm just, like I said, it was just a funny coincidence. That this Jay Leno thing is in the same, is Atlantic City, the same time, same weekend, and I'm thinking, well, can't ignore that fate screaming in my face, so.
No, that's cool.
But that's funny.
I hope you do get to meet her, and if you do, tell her that you and I spoke.
I will if I can get anything out. But
yeah, she and I got pretty. We got really close on that project.
That's so cool.
She's one of my favorite people.
Mine too. But you have more valid reasons.
No, we all have our own reasons. There's no comparison.
But are you working on anything now, currently? Any projects coming up?
At this moment, no. But I'm going to... I have two movies that I did since Enlightened that are both having their American premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival on the 18th of April. So that'll be fun. Going to New York for that.
I love New York.
Me too.
All those shows. I love Broadway so much.
I haven't seen a Broadway show probably in over 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You have to then.
When I'm there, I got a couple extra days. I'm going to stay.
Definitely. There's so many good things. I'm about an 8-hour drive away from New York City, so we could kind of make it in a day and stay overnight if we need to.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. The last thing I saw there was Evita.
Oh, yeah?
Last year, I think. Yes. I loved it.
Great.
Love Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah, he's amazing. First musical I ever did was Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
There you go. That's awesome. I love him. He's so smart with his music. And Phantom, I mean, that's gorgeous. The music is gorgeous. Last, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm going to go into the question that you've probably heard 1,000,000,000 times. I tried to be unique until this point, but I got to throw this in. What's one thing that these wonderful, enlightened fans listening don't know about you?
One thing they don't know about me. They probably don't know that my dog's name is Salad.
I think they do. It's on your IMDb page.
I don't have many secrets. I don't know. I guess if they probably don't know that I'm on a UCB Herald team. Which is an improv team in LA.
That's cool.
And you can come see me do improv every Monday night, basically.
Oh, wow, that's really awesome. So mm-hmm. you have, like, a live audience every Monday.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's addicting.
Oh, that'd be scary. I'd be terrified.
Oh, that's fun.
That's why I'm not an actor. I'd be too scared to do that. No, I'm in my safe little lab. I don't do stuff like that.
Well, you know, a lot of people who do improv are actually writers.
That would make sense.
They're not trying to be actors either.
Still creative though. I'm a chemical engineer. I have no writing.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a chemical engineer, like legit.
You have a whole skill set that I have no clue about.
I graduated college in 2012, and now I work with carbon and carbon processes and filter. Like, we basically take coal and turn it into carbon that's used for filters and cat litter, and the army uses it for their masks and all that nifty stuff.
I just got a water alkalizer.
Mm-hmm.
It's this machine that you pump water through, and then it electrolyzes it.
Okay.
I guess.
Sure.
And that lowers its pH, mm-hmm. or depending on where you want it, you can pinpoint exactly the pH you want drink it or use it for whatever you need to. That's been amazing.
Yeah, I bet our carbon's probably in there.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm probably drinking a little bit of your carbon.
Yes.
That you made.
That's awesome. Yes.
Or no, I guess I wouldn't be drinking it. It's helping.
It's filtering through.
Thank you, Jennifer.
You are welcome. Glad I can help you in some way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But like I said, I don't want to take up too much of your time. But I appreciate this interview. Discussion, conversation, whatever you want to call it. So much. This was so much fun.
Awesome. I'll let you know about Laura, okay?
Oh my gosh, yes. I can't even function. I need a moment with that.
You'll be okay.
It's so cool, but thank you. Everything. Thank you for following the podcast. You're the only cast member to follow the podcast.
Oh. So that's awesome. I'm gonna write more letters. I'll try to get everybody to follow it.
You're my own little promoter. That's so cool.
Yeah.
But I appreciate
Jennifer.
Yeah, thank you so much. And nice to meet you. Very nice to meet
you. You too. And thanks so much for your support.
Oh, anytime. Anytime you want to come back, it's welcome to anybody. Welcome to you anytime. So.
Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
And we're back. So hope you guys enjoyed that. And if so, please feel free to send me a comment or tweet me at Jennifer_Lynn89. Tweet the podcast at EnlightenCast, or you can send an email to EnlightenPodcast@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for next week's episode number 7. Bye!